there. I'm board-certified professional organizer Kathy Burns. I'm really glad you're here. This podcast is designed for busy entrepreneurs just like you who want to take better control of your business and move forward with less stress and more success. If this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming. The Organize Energize podcast is produced for your enjoyment, and show notes are found at thepodcast.organizeandenergize.com. Come back often and feel free to add this podcast to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. You can also follow me on Twitter at Organize Energy and Facebook. All links are in the show notes. Now let's get into the show. Hi, everyone. I'm back. Thanks for joining me this week. Today, we're going to talk with Kitty Andrews, and we're going to talk about how to remove the barriers to your bottom line and give you three quick and easy steps to move from clutter to cash flow. Kitty's an international best-selling author, and she's known as your thought organizer. She helps busy entrepreneurs get their physical and mental surroundings under control by helping them to declutter their space and their brain. She speaks my talk. Kitty's written, directed, and performed over 800 online videos devoted to decluttering the five life pillars, which furnish the content for her daily newsletter. Her speaking career spans interviews on top podcasts like mine and summits, as well as presentations at Stanford and Harvard. She's contributed articles and interviews that have generated her front page status in the Los Angeles Tribune Magazine and USA Today. So let's jump right into it and meet this incredible woman named Kitty. Hi, everyone. This is Kath, and we are back. And today, we're talking to Kitty Andrews. And the reason that I wanted to have her on the show is we're going to talk about mental clutter and decluttering your mind space. So welcome to the show, Kitty.
Thank you for having me, Kathy. I'm so excited.
I know. This is going to be fun. So for people who don't know you, let's start there. Talk to a little bit about what you do, how you came upon this. Like, what's your backstory?
Well, the official tagline is I help entrepreneurs to organize their space and streamline their thoughts so that they can focus on being profitably productive. What that means in real language is I help people to declutter their space and their brain so that they get the right things done as opposed to busy work. And then they make more money.
And oh, yeah, baby. Stuck in busyness, right?
Absolutely.
What brought you to this type of career? What's your backstory on what you do before you became a clearing specialist?
I've pretty much always been the organizer in whatever workspaces I've been. I was I don't know if there's a touch of autism in me, but I've always been had to have things structured, and I was pretty extreme at one point, but I mellowed out. And then my first job as I was a file clerk, and back when we all went to work in offices, right?
Yeah.
And I got promoted to the accounting department, and couple months later, one of the ladies where I used to file, she said, could you maybe work for us part-time? Because we can't find anything anymore. and fast forward to waitressing in restaurants, I always got voted the one to clear out the walk-in fridge, because, you know, at the end of the day, the chefs, they just want to go for a beer. So they throw everything in the fridge and you can't find the yogurt. So I loved doing that. I was quiet in my own space and I could make everything beautiful. And then, you know, 18-year real estate cleaning business, I always felt kind of compelled to move things around just a little bit, not totally reorganize the place, but staging, if you will, a form of staging. And I was lucky. The clients always liked what I did. And then someone suggested virtual decluttering, doing it via Zoom as opposed to going into people's homes. And lo and behold, people love it because it's a less intrusive, you don't have to clean for the cleaning lady, more focused way to get rid of 30 years worth of Christmas decorations kind of thing.
Exactly. That's where I'm at. Yeah. I love the fact that we can organize over Zoom now and that people are open and receptive to that. I think it is less intimidating. I say, don't organize for the organizer. I want to see where things land and, you know, how you're using your space and whatnot.
Yes.
So,
yes, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Like the Columbo approach for those who are old enough to remember Columbo. Yeah. Right.
Yep. Yeah. Let me see the lay of the land first. Because then you can organize for them, because one size does not fit all. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. That's what keeps me juiced about my career, is that it's never the same. You know, I get to use the artistic creative aspect of myself to create the system for them and the way that they're going to, because, you know, as we know, it needs to be sustainable. Otherwise, if it's not sustainable organizing, then it's just going to fall right back into disarray.
That's right.
Tell me a story about one of your clients, one of your favorite client stories.
Oh,
what happened?
Let me count the ways. Well, I find that decluttering, before I answer that, I find that decluttering the space actually helps you to declutter your mind. The layers of, as your space is getting cleared, always clients start to get transformed in other areas, and the other four life pillars, their health, their habits, their relationships, and their head, hence my company name, Declutter the Brain. And my best example of that is Sarah, who has been with me for 3 years. And we started her sun porch. She had to kind of sidle in to even get to her front door. And we started clearing that. And in about 6 weeks, she said, you know, I've been thinking about doing a fitness program, and I'm finally going to do it. And so she and I thought nothing of it. Oh, that's great. And I didn't put the I didn't attribute it to the physical decluttering at all. But then shortly thereafter, she said, you know, my husband, he said something to me I'm not sure I really liked. And she told me what it was. And it wasn't that bad. They'd been married for 25 years. So a lot gets said. And I said, well, that's interesting. Is this new? And she thought about it and said, no, you know what, come to think of it, he's been saying that kind of stuff for 25 years. I just never noticed it before.
Wow.
Another example of her, be opening her eyes, decluttering, yeah, opening her eyes to other things that were amiss that should be fixed. I've been credited with saving three marriages, by the way, just by decluttering. And it sends ripple effects. Yeah,
that's where I was going, like this, like ripple, 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 you know, every, I always say the smallest and most insignificant change leads to larger than life results. And I think that's the beauty of what we do, is that we see that transformation and get that aha moment, sometimes even before our clients, or like your client, you know, after she figured it out, it's like, yeah, this is great. Love it. Yeah, that's a good story. And, you know, she probably, now she's able to move more. I think that whenever you're in such a physical environment where you're just surrounded, you shut down opportunities, you shut down thoughts of differentness, because you just can't think of anything besides, or you're trying to ignore all the stuff around you. Therefore, you're ignoring.
Yes. Yes. And that takes, doing that takes mental energy that you can be putting towards something else. For example, she never met a hobby that she didn't like. This is the crown jewel of that story, she never met a hobby that she didn't like. But her biggest interest has always been stained glass art, which isn't easy. And I'm proud to say that she has just accepted an $800 for her first commissioned stained glass work. She's finally decluttered all the other areas of her life that she said, yes, I can do it now. Whereas I asked her, do you think you could have done this when we met? And she said, oh, no way, No, I couldn't think that clearly to be able to progress this far. So there you go.
That's fantastic. And don't you think it has to do a lot with guilt too? I hear the word guilt coming up. So I can't spend time doing my stained glass because I really have to get to this other stuff that I've been ignoring for 30 years, you know? Absolutely. So yeah. guilt has a big player in what we choose to do and, you know, our fun, right? Do we have time for fun? I don't know. Fun, because there's too much other stuff that I haven't done, you know, all these uncompleted projects.
Yeah, I should ...
Yeah, shouldn't you?
Yeah, how many times do we say that?
Yeah, don't should yourself out there, listeners. Just stop saying the should word.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You have to replace it. Just say, I could. I have a choice.
Mm-hmm. Or I will, or I am considering.
Yes.
Right? Positive language, because really, I believe that clutter starts in the brain. Mm-hmm. What do you think of that? You know,
Yeah, I totally agree, because when your brain starts shutting down, then you're not able to handle your physical environment. But I think, you know, I think what we do in the work in the world, we're sneaky like that. You know, you come face forward and talk about mental. I don't really talk about it as much. It's like, I know they're going to have that shift. I know they're going to have that transformation. But well, let's start where it's easy. Let's start with, like your client, let's start with the front porch. You know, let's see what we can clear that, so that whenever you walk into your house, think of that, right? So you have a porch that you can't hardly get through. And then you show up at your house and you can walk straight into the house. What do you think happens to your brain? Yeah, more clarity, at least, or at least a little bit more energy. Because before this woman could even walk into her porch, her energy was zapped, right? Yeah. All the things. That stuff left undone.
You get the shoulders sagging, you know, I got to do this sometime. Well, that just puts a pall on your self-esteem, on your confidence, just on all areas of your life. And it's more important than people are embarrassed about their clutter, but I think they don't realize what all of the other effects that it's having on them, you know.
I know, and embarrassment is just—it's just silly, anyhow. Embarrassment, I think, is self-judgment. You know, I always say you never have to be embarrassed about anything. Life happens. You know, half the time that the crap, so to speak, has accumulated because it's been given to you. You know, especially as girls, you know, we inherit all the stuff. The boys are like, I'm not taking anything. And then it ends up on our doorstep. I mean, life happens. That's what kids happen. You know, clutter's best friends, the 4 D's, right? Divorce, dependence. Oh my God, now I went dead. Okay, help me with this. Divorce, dependence, disease, and God, I just went blank. Divorce, dependence, disease, and
I'm sorry.
That's what happened. Those are clutter's best friends, right? Because when that's a Peter Walsh quote, because whenever any of those, I always say, if you have more than two of them, you're in trouble. You know, if you have death and disease, and then if you don't have divorce independent, you know, if you get three, you're in trouble. And that's when you need to call in a pro. So anyhow, I digress. Let's get back to you, Kitty. So what's been the one life lesson that you've learned through doing this as a career for so many years? What have you learned from this experience of helping people declutter?
I've learned coming back to mental energy, how much mental energy we can spend on, how much mental energy physical clutter can take up. And I've got a personal story for that. If I can share that just very briefly. Moving into my new apartment here. And I was doing a lot of speaking, moving as busy as it is. And a lot of boxes were in my living room. And it just, I thought I should go easy on myself. You know, it's going to get done. But it was eating me up. And one weekend, I just finally said, okay, well, either it goes into the spare bedroom where I can't see it, or it gets unpacked. And a little of both happened. And I felt so much more energetic come Monday. I didn't have that eating up my brain. And mental clutter can, you know, when you're mentally getting prepared for your day and you're thinking, did I write down that I have to email that person? Oh my God, I didn't phone that person. I didn't send that message. And these things will start to build up and build up. And that little battery icon at the top of your head, you know, like on your iPhone, it goes, right? Well, there's your mental clutter that's happening as well. And I think that, in fact, I've asked people about this, and they say, every single one of them will say the mental clutter is more difficult to deal with than the physical clutter. Mm-hmm. That we know what to do with physical clutter. We just get overwhelmed, or we don't wanna. But the mental, it's all there in our heads. And how do we kind of niche it down so that it's not overwhelming? Because it can be paralyzing. And I speak from personal experience, how mental clutter can be just paralyzing.
Yeah. There's
too many categories to deal with. And I even experienced that today, because way too many things happened over the last couple of days, all good things, but they take their toll on you, and you just think, what do I start with?
Exactly. And that happened to me yesterday. You know, we all have times of no clarity at all. Like, clarity. Today I'm crystal, which is thank God, because you can't be, you know, mucky the whole time. But yeah, it happens to everybody. So I know we're going to talk about the three strategies or three steps that you use. Can you talk about those a little bit to clear your mental clutter?
I can, before I do that, it's called my one system, and I developed it for physical clutter, but it can be applicable to the mental clutter. And I'll explain it quickly, and then you'll see why. Yeah. The one system is one room at a time, one area of that room at a time, and one thing at a time. Notice the word one. Right, exactly. How many? One, right. And what I mean by that is one room. Just decide on the one. You want to get some quick wins. You want to get some dopamine happening that, okay, yes, I can do this. Because many people just don't even try because they don't think that they can, or they've been told that they can't, or they've tried before, but they tried to do too much. So pick one room, preferably a small room. And then the next part, one area of that room at a time. And same deal, but smaller. Pick one area. It's very easy. It's very tempting to, I'll do a little bit over here, and then I'll do some on my desk, and then I'll do some over here. No, you will see quicker results with sticking with one small area. Yeah, but if I do it all over the room, I'll see lots of results. No, you won't, because your brain is basically multitasking, and you'll get more when you look at that one corner that you've stuck with. Wow, I got all that done. Yay me, let's go momentum, right? And then one thing at a time. Is it tedious? Yes. Is it time consuming? Yes. Is it also the number one way that you're going to train your brain so that the clutter does not come back? Because you even said this earlier, it goes back into disarray. If you don't do it right the first time, it's going to go back.
Baked, right? If it's half baked and not done, then it's not done.
That's right. Now, how does this apply to mental clutter? Is exactly the same thing what I was just saying about the mental little battery icon and using up your mental energy. And I had to apply the system, and some family problems. There were just way too many things happening and running a business at the same time. And all that involves. And I started having those moments in the beginning of the day that I just described about, did I write down to email this person? Yeah, all of these things. And I said, all right, well, physician, heal thyself. Pick one, perhaps one thing, one category. When I was feeling like this earlier this morning, and how you were feeling yesterday, I got to do something. All right, good. I got one quick win. It took me about 45 seconds to do, just send off a really fast email, which I don't. I take time, compose. Sometimes you just have to say, good enough is good enough. Send it off. It was to a colleague who's a good friend. So if there was a typo in it, it was okay. You know, just do it. Get that quick win. And I felt more energetic. I thought, yeah, okay, got that done. What's next? And sometimes I will say, all right, let's do it in categories. Email is a category. Or who needs me? Who, meaning a person, needs me? Is it my partner? No, I don't have one. Is it my assistant who's waiting for something from me so she can do her job? She usually comes first. I text her every morning, Monday to Friday, unless we already know what we're doing, and say, is there anything you need me to do so that you can do your job to your standard? And she'll say, no, we're good. Or, yeah, I've been asking you to look at that spreadsheet for a couple of days now. Okay, yes. But sometimes just focusing on what somebody else needs can really, really help you to focus on the important things and ground you a lot. People can be very grounding. They can be very scattering as well, but can be grounding. So as long as you niche it into, for me anyway, niching it into some sort of category. Have I answered your question?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's, you know, that it's the one thing, right? And that's what I was doing yesterday when I was so foggy. I'm like, I'm just going to do this one thing. And I finally got it done. But it was horrendous because it just took me way too long than what it should have taken me. But so what? You know, I got it done, right? And but even on the clear days, having just one, or, you know, I like the Ivy Lee method. I don't know if you've ever used that. The guy, he was working with a corporation, and he was trying to bring more productivity, actually, to Buick, I think it was. And he said, you know, the Ivy Lee, that you have a list of six. And those are the six things that you're going to get done. Once you do the six things and you prioritize them, and then you start at one. And sometimes you only do one, two, or three. And then what happens the next day, four and five became one and two. So right. It allows you to just keep that thing going on, you know, and keep focused on what's the next step. So it's a variation of your one, because then you're going to start with one, and you're not going to do anything until you finish that one. Then you're going to go on to two. But I think we all need that. I mean, especially in today's age, there's so much stuff coming at us. I mean, your inbox, your Zoom, Skype, texting, Facebook Messenger. Oh my gosh, there's so many different forms of communication. It's driving me bonkers, actually. And, you know, you have to choose, I think, back to one. I mean, how do you feel about that as far as all the different types of communication? What have you chosen to use? Because I'd like to choose some things that I'd like to not choose some things that I have to do.
Yeah. Well, what has helped me a lot is maybe as opposed to narrowing it down to one means of communication with everybody, like Facebook Messenger or text or whatever, I've designated different apps for different purposes. Say, for example, all of my clients get Voxer access to me, the walkie-talkie app, and that's just part of the perk of the program, so that they're never alone in between our consultations. They can always either rant or ask me a question, because sometimes you feel stuck and you feel alone. And this way they don't feel alone. So the Voxer is only reserved for that. So if I see the little notification on it, then, oh, somebody needs me. Okay. So I'm prioritizing that. My WhatsApp, there are three people on that. Nobody else is allowed on there. It's my best friend, my assistant, and my aunt. Only three people. And even my aunt came on there by accident.
She found you.
Yeah, well, pretty much, yeah. And then the texts, that tends to be a grab bag of that's the grab bag. And the Facebook Messenger, I wish I could slice and dice that. However, I can't, but I've gotten pretty good. Well, my assistant handles a fair bit of that, any of the business ones that look like she should handle. And she leaves what's obviously personal, you know, a friend in Alberta or something like that. She leaves those for me. But that's how I handle it. Anybody who can handle more than that, God bless them.
I love that you do it that way. You know, specific people for specific things. I know my straw broke when my husband will only speak with me on Skype. He's like, why are you not on Skype all the time? I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay. Here's another method of communication that I need to use. And I love Voxer though for clients. I think Voxer is just the coolest thing. You don't have to worry about typos or anything. You just chit chat and answer questions, and absolutely love that. I think it's one of the best tools, you know, the best tools I started to use in the last couple of years for sure. But you know, now I'm on Skype, so now other people are on Skype, and actually my team's on Skype, so that actually makes sense. But yeah, I think parceling out the different types of communication is definitely the way to go. Okay, so you're a professional organizer. I have to ask you this. What's your favorite organizing hack that you use personally? App hack, whatever.
Okay. I help people to organize their thoughts so that they can organize themselves. I know that you are a professional organizer, so we're in the same field but a little bit different. What is my favorite, and what is my favorite hack is really, I don't want to beat the one system, really. Niching it down to one, whatever it is you're doing. That's really my favorite. If it comes to actually something specific, then giving your kitchen counter a tidy or clean on Wednesday in the middle of your week can be a real boost, a real refresher. Because I don't know about you, and I live alone, so there isn't anybody else to wipe the counter. And I also don't have to wipe the counter after anybody else. But I find that giving yourself, don't take more than half an hour on it on Wednesday night. 15 minutes should do it. But giving it a clearing also clears your brain as well. And I tell you, I always feel energized for the Thursday and the Friday. Just gives that little pick me up, you know, a little self-care.
That's a fantastic tip, a fantastic hack. You know, kitchen counters are the biggest source of arguments that I find between husbands and wives. Probably you've seen the same thing. You know, it's like, why is there all this stuff? You know, the guys saying, girl's like, I don't know, you put it there. It's where you drop the mailer. So I think the clear kitchen, I had to laugh whenever you said that, because I walked downstairs this morning to find a impeccably clean and organized and cleared countertop kitchen that my husband had done this morning for me. And the energy, just my energy soared, and got a big old smile on my face. And I got more ramped up for, you know, jumping into work. Cause I walked down and was like, oh, clear and spacious. Oh my gosh. That's one thing that's a one thing that has completion. Right? It's a sense of
goodness. Yes.
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah. Yeah. And I am blessed to have someone who would do that for me, as you know, he did it for himself as well. I know, because he hates clutter, but you know, it was a huge revitalization. So I love that. I always like to ask this, when you have a success, what do you do to celebrate your successes? Do you have any type of little ritual or anything that you do for yourself?
It depends on the size of the success. I celebrate. I have been learning too, because I tend to be a real head down working, just plow through everything type double A, type triple A. Go, not smell a rose. What? I don't have time to smell roses, all of this kind of stuff. So I've been learning to celebrate small successes, like, okay, that social is posted, or the newsletter is done for tomorrow. Yay. Okay. All right. Little bit of dopamine, celebrating small successes, and just something as simple as that. Celebrating, that's really a good question. Do you mean like having a glass of wine, taking yourself on a trip? Help me out here. What do you do?
Well, and I'm asking this because this is my year of celebration, because, you know, when I published my first book, I didn't even stop to celebrate at all. I'm just like, okay, now I got to do marketing. You know, so you and I are so much alike on that, you know, I'm like, what do I do to celebrate success? Okay. So it depends again on the size. Like, you know, I have a new member for my Organize Energize Insiders Club, and I haven't even really launched. And she joined me yesterday. How do I do that? I actually shut my laptop, went outside, soaked in some sun, and said, thank you. You know, you know, and I ask all my guests this, and I want all the listeners to hear, we don't stop to celebrate. What does celebration mean? Now, if it's a momentous thing, I will get a bottle of champagne. I will pop the cork and I will just sit down with some friends and say, yay, you know, or things like that. But just the small little things, you know, are so very important for us to recognize, acknowledge, appreciate, and say thank you, because gratitude is what makes things happen, right?
Gratitude is key. Say thank you for every little gift. And we are blessed and surrounded 24/7 by gifts. Waking up in the morning is a gift, because you have another day to make an impact on people's lives. And it's too easy to be negative. I'm sure you'd agree that it's too easy to focus on the negative things, like, I have to take my car in for servicing. No, you get to take your car in for servicing, because you have a car, you've got money to put gas in the car. You get to, not you have to. And if we learn to, that strategy has changed my life, to be saying, all right, no, I am fortunate. Is life going to be absolutely perfect and smooth? No, it isn't, but it isn't for a reason, so that you can teach yourself, all right, how do I fix this challenge? And you're then you get that challenge, and maybe you can help somebody else, or it just makes you stronger all the time.
Yeah, I bring up the celebration because it's really an homage to me, to remind myself that I need to stop and celebrate. And I want to remind everybody, all my guests, all the listeners, stop and celebrate. Wayne Dyer is one of my favorite guys, you know, God bless him. And he would, every morning when he would wake up, and he would put his, when he could, put his feet on the ground and say, thank you for this day. You know, that was his morning ritual. And I think having rituals of gratitude and celebration is important. So that's why I bring that one up. That's nice. And it's just a reminder, we all need to do that. I mean, it's really for me. I'm self-centered, just a reminder to myself to pause and celebrate. So let me ask you, Kitty, if you had to tell your 18-year-old self something, give yourself a piece of advice, what would you tell little Kitty?
Oh, something similar to what I said before, but done is better than perfect. How much mental energy are you wasting on making it and making something that really isn't that important? Absolutely perfect. The peanut butter sandwich does not have to, the peanut butter does not have to go to the exact edge and be exactly artistic. It's a peanut butter sandwich, for heaven's sake. Just make it, eat it, and move on. Prioritize what's important.
The peanut butter sandwich does not have to be perfect. I love that. It's true. I mean, one of my mantras, I have a mantra for every year, you know, perfection is overrated and simply not worth it. It's mm-hmm. just not worth it, you know, and nothing's ever perfect anyhow. So like, get over yourself.
Yeah. Pretty much. Oh, but somebody will see now a typo. They're going to see. So in my newsletter, I go over it 3, 4, 5 times before and just before I send it out. I could schedule it, but no, I just want to make sure. Okay, but people will see a typo, and that can look like sloppiness. And I don't want people to think that I'm sloppy, because maybe my work is sloppy as well. So I'm pretty much a perfectionist about that. But you know what? Sometimes a typo will still slip out. Oh well.
Well, you know what? I love that when that happens on my newsletters, because I always get someone that responds and they point it out, and it gives me a chance to interact and say, oh my God, thank you so much for reading yes. so much of my newsletter that you realized that you had a typo. I absolutely love this. Now, what gift can I give back to you? I actually like that when that happens. Because it allows me to interact, and it lets me know that they're actually paying attention.
Well, there's that about it too. That's huge.
It's huge. They're reading my newsletter. It's like, they're reading tips. They're an e-tipper. They're actually inspired and motivated and taking action enough to actually give me the grace and give me the gift to respond and point out where I've made my error. I mean, that's their time. I'm like, wow, this is a cool little thing here. So Amen. That's how I got over that a long time ago, because it's a gift to me, and that's what it is. When people actually respond, no matter whether it's good, bad, ugly, or disgusting, they're actually interacting, which means they're paying attention. So
And you're making an impact.
Yeah, exactly. Making an impact, even if they're like, what is she spelling it that way for? It's like, okay, cool. Let me know. How did I botch that one? Because, you know, we're not perfect. And point it out. Okay, so I know you have a valuable free resource that you're going to offer the people. And I know that they're clamoring to see what it is and download whatever it is. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Unfortunately, I don't have the physical. I thought I had the physical copy with me. That's why I was looking around on my desk. But what it is 7 easy steps to conquer your physical and mental clutter. It's intended as a grounding tool for your declutter journey and beyond, because as we have said, what's the point in decluttering if you can't keep it that way? And it really is 7 easy steps that you can apply to all 5 pillars of your life. Yeah.
That's 7 to 5. Love
you
it.
Bet. You bet.
Okay, we're going to put the link down below, and so you can grab it. Go ahead and grab that download. That's going to help you. The way I feel about it is, the more modalities and the more different people that we can learn from to do the same thing, the better, because we're going to find, you know, that one little thing that sticks. And then our life's going to be made better. And that's what it's all about, is learning, expanding, and grabbing the information as it comes to us. And this is a gift from Kitty to you. So go ahead and download it. Same thing, I have my free book. You can go ahead and download How to Master Your Mutt, Get Organized, Add Space to Your Life, and Live Your Purpose. You can grab that free book with the link below as well. So I really appreciate your time, Kitty. I love talking to fellow organizers. It always makes for a great podcast. And I know my audience loves hearing about us and what we do and hearing our client stories. So thank you for your time and your energy. You're a delight.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Kitty. And until next week, make sure to download Kitty's gifts. Make sure to download your free gift. Go forward. Think of one thing you can do right now to make your life better, and do that one thing And in the morning, think of the one thing you can do as well. It's a great tip. Until then, until sayonara, we'll see you next week. Hey, thanks for listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you want to hear more, feel free to subscribe on the platform of your choice. Also, if you feel so inclined, I would truly appreciate a good rating from you to me. Have a stellar day.